Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring my partner Ray Woodson and interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cow Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout, also in Cow Hollow. Now let's talk Warriors basketball. We'll talk about the Warriors 1-2 start in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/hardingpark for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors are now at 1-2, so I guess the panic meter is getting higher and higher. It's still so early in the season, but to lose a couple games like they did, to lose the home opener, you know, right at the end there, they had a chance to win, they didn't get it done. You know, close game with New Orleans where they sort of had to, you know, pull that one out there at the end. And then, you know, I don't want to say they got their butts kicked in Memphis, but the Grizzlies just play the Warriors well. They just know how to play them. They've won three of the last four meetings against the Warriors. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the way they're playing? Some of the comments that you're hearing, especially Steve Kerr, is really saying that, you know, this team wasn't ready to start the season based on their preseason schedule, the China trip and all that. They didn't really get enough practice.
Well, they're not ready. That's pretty clear. What it means in the long term, I don't think it means much. You know, it's very early in the season, so they can figure all these things out. But they're searching a little bit right now. And the one comment that Steve Kerr made that got my attention was, you know, kind of trying to bring the joy back into this. It doesn't seem like they're enjoying themselves out there in the court so much just yet. There's been a lot of business to attend to, like you mentioned, the China trip. But that was a couple weeks ago now, so that's no longer an excuse. I will say they always seem to have one of these games in Memphis, especially early in the year, don't they?
Yeah.
And Memphis doesn't fear them. I mean, they may not be as good as them, but, well, they aren't as good as them. If you get them in a playoff series, Warriors are going to beat them. But Memphis is tough. And, you know, over the years, they've played a slower pace. They've sped it up a little bit now. They brought in a little bit of youth. And, by the way, Gasol looks great. He's got that new diet, and he's lost a lot of fat and, you know, looks tremendous. So, you know, that's the kind of team that has always given them trouble. And like I said, they don't fear them. Gasol and Conley are a great combination. And the Warriors, okay, second night of a back-to-back. This early in the year, I don't think it means that much. Kerr's been resting a lot of players. They're just kind of searching right now. And, you know, they've got such tremendous talent, they're going to find it. They're going to start clicking here eventually. And so they've had a couple of slap-in-the-face games early in the year.
Well, let's go back to the game in New Orleans because, you know, I think there's sort of an issue going on here. I know most teams in the NBA complain a lot about officiating, but I don't think the Warriors need to go there. I mean, I just think they're above that, and I think Draymond Green needs to get straightened out in that area. I love Draymond, but, you know, and I love his enthusiasm, but, you know, getting a technical foul there, and then what you saw at the end of the game, the frustration in Memphis, I think those guys would like to take that back. You know, Steph Curry throwing his mouthpiece, Durant getting kicked out as well at the end of the game. I mean, they just have a lot more class than that. What do you think?
Well, as we're talking here, we're waiting to hear the penalty for Steph Curry. And, you know, this is the second time we've seen him throw that mouthpiece, which, I mean, let's face it, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Ugh. I don't want to be anywhere near that mouthpiece. Whatever direction he was throwing it or what the intention was, I mean, it just the frustration boiled over. I've been pounding the drum for years about Curry. He doesn't get the calls. There's no doubt about it. He, you know, for a two-time MVP, now he's managed to overcome that and be a two-time MVP and a two-time champion. So a lot of people would be crying crocodile tears over that. But I think that the way they've officiated him over the years, I think there are reasons for it, and we can get into that. But it's very frustrating for Curry, and I understand the frustration. The thing with Draymond, I think it actually sparked him. He got inside Boogie Cousins' head. Draymond walked right up to the line. He almost got run from that game, but he did not. And Cousins got two quick fouls after that. And, you know, you can get inside Boogie's head. Draymond knows that. They're actually pretty cool off the court. You know, they won a gold in Rio together. But when it comes to, you know, between the lines, we know how Draymond is. I think this is a perfect example of what Bob Myers calls the 90% that you'll take for the 10% that sometimes goes awry, like in the finals, you know, a couple of years ago. But I think that summer after those finals, Draymond changed a little bit. I mean, there's still the competitive fire on the court. There's still the edginess that the Warriors definitely need. But he's figured out a way to kind of rein things in and, you know, tighten things up overall on and off the court a little bit. And so I think he has grown some, and he's 27 now, and he is a leader in the team. And we saw with his absence in the opener against Houston how much they miss him. But, you know, Myers and everybody knows the deal. He's going to be on the tightrope once in a while emotionally, but that's what gives them their edge. And they need that now, don't they? I mean, this is
true.
Early in the year, and they've gotten all the accolades. They've gotten the rings. The banner's been hung. You know, the tendency is to kind of believe that, you know, you're above everybody, and Draymond's made comments like that nobody else has a bleeping clue. Well, you know, that's motivation for them too, to show this team that hey, you're not light years ahead. You might be a few feet ahead. So they're going to get everybody's best punch. We talked about that last week. That's going to continue, and you know, even with for example Dallas, and if you miss Curry in a game like that. They should still beat them, but there's just a lot of weird, disjointed things going on early in the season. The good news is they had a very short preseason. That may have been part of the problem. I tweeted this over the weekend. Now the preseason can end. Get it going now. You know, that's about how many games you would have played a couple of years ago, right? Seven or eight?
Right.
Preseason. All right, so you're there now. It's time to get going, and the good news is it's very early in the year, and you can figure all this stuff out.
We'll continue to talk about the Warriors' loss in Memphis in just a moment.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
I don't even know if it matters who you're playing. If you shoot 39%, if you're the Warriors, and Memphis shooting 47%, you're going to lose, and they're getting more free throws. And you mentioned Gasol looking good, and his numbers were great. He had 34 points, 14 rebounds. He got to the line a ton. He was 16 of 17 at the free throw line. So it doesn't even matter who you're playing. I mean, those kind of numbers show you're going to lose a game like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if the Warriors play their game, nobody beats them. They know that. We know that. Everybody knows that. Here's another thing that I talked about on the air over the weekend. You know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing with this team. They know they can come back in games, right? They've done it repeatedly. Six times last year, down 15 or more, they came back and won ball games.
Yeah.
And the tendency is to come out slow sometimes, like they gave up 39 against New Orleans in the first quarter. They come back and win that game. But against a team like Memphis, you know, you let it get away, you're not coming back. They're a tough team to come back against. They're not great when they're behind, but they're a tough team to come back against. And you mentioned it, Gasol. I mean, that's if all else fails, he has the ability to get to the line. And I think that frustrated them as well. So, you know, it's not that they're taking opponents lightly, but they've got this knowledge about themselves that when they're on, they can come back and beat anybody. And usually they do, you know, and you're thinking, damn it, we can't learn the lesson if you're going to keep doing this, right?
Right.
You know, So now they're at the point, I think, where they, like I said, they've gotten a couple of slaps in the face. And, you know, we're at the point where they've played six or seven games. They're still trying to figure out the bench. And, you know, when you have a player like Draymond out for part of a game due to injury, and that was a little scary last week, that was a bullet dodged. And Caspi's been out with the ankle. And, you know, Curry gets into foul trouble. That's something that's got to stop as well. The reaching has got to stop, and he'll do that from time to time. These are all little things that they can tighten up and figure out as they go along.
Yeah, Curry's well aware of that. I mean, he actually had a quote saying that he's just got to stop being stupid, to be honest, that he's reaching in. And, yeah, him getting in foul trouble really changes the whole game because, you know, you have to take him out. He's not going to get as many minutes. And that's been the case. He's been getting into foul trouble. And I don't know. I mean, you know, he looks like he's in great shape, but it just seems like he's got to say, you know what, I'm going to move my feet. I'm not going to reach in. It seems like it's more of a mental thing, don't you think?
I think so, and again, they're still kind of easing into the season, and other teams, you know, were spurred into action because of the greatness of this team going 16-1 in the postseason, and now they've gotten a little bit closer to the. Now the Warriors did some stuff too, but I think that's what it is right now. It's not just being in physical shape, game shape that Kerr has talked about. It's being in mental shape as well, being mentally engaged. And they've all talked about it. It's like, you know, we know that we've got to sharpen that up, and once we do, we're going to be okay. Little knowledge is a dangerous thing. You're like, okay, we'll figure it out eventually. Well, yeah, you probably will, but you can't just assume that.
You know, that being said, I mean, I think that another mental issue is Kevin Durant, just with turnovers that he's had. He even said, you know, he's turning it over. He's pissed off about it. And that he's rushing. He says he's got to calm himself down, settle down. That's another mental part of the game. And you know, I guess when a team isn't playing well early in the season like that, you know, you're going to have some players that are pressing to try to do some things maybe they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, and I don't worry so much about the errors of commission versus the errors of omission, like you're not covering a guy defensively, you're not getting back down on the floor, you're getting beaten in transition, which, by the way, they were against Memphis several times. That was a little bit troubling. That's something you definitely have to work on. But, you know, if you're a guy like Durant and you're pressing, I don't know if he's pressing a little bit. I think, you know, there's probably a feeling subconsciously is like, I got the ring now, as he demonstrated to the fan from Memphis the other
He did.
Night.
I saw that, yeah.
I got the ring now, but, you know, you still feel like if you have a conscience, you want to justify, hey, we're the champs for a reason, and I'm going to show you why. And, you know, the other part is just getting into the offense again, and that takes several games, too. So, you know, as the season goes along, they'll figure those things out. In the meantime, there's the tendency, especially with a guy like Durant, to take it into your own hands. And the one thing about Durant is you can get turnovers off the dribble against him. That's where he does turn the ball over because he's so tall. There's going to be a high dribble. And so it's tough for him to get down low to the floor to drive to the bucket. It's just natural. He's going to be a little more space between his hand and the floor when he's dribbling, and that's where he is vulnerable, and that's where guys can get to turnovers on him, and that's what's happening right now. And as you said, he acknowledged it. So that's one of those things I don't really worry about. As time goes on, as the offense starts clicking a little better, there'll be fewer instances where a guy feels like he has to put the ball down on the floor. There are times you get matchups and you want to exploit that. I totally understand that. A guy like Sean Livingston is great at that, to getting down to the baseline to his office. And Durant certainly has mismatched too. And what you see is he'll get in on the block on somebody, turn around, and the shot's falling short right now. I don't see that happening as we go along and the offense starts operating more smoothly.
More Dubs OT right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
We talked a little bit about the mental state of the Warriors. Let's hear what head coach Steve Kerr had to say today at Warriors Shootaround in Dallas.
Yeah, they're more mental than anything. The mistakes we're making, we're not poised. the silly fouls, the turnovers, most of those plays are coming just because our minds aren't right. So we got to get our minds right before we're going to fix the issues on the court, and I'm confident that we'll do that. I'm well aware of what this team has been through the last 3 years and how early in the season it is, and we still have so much work to do in terms of building the foundation for the season. And so it's a process, and it's not going to just happen all of a sudden, you know, the first three games of the year.
Kerr went on to talk about how hard it is to be the same championship team that they were last year.
I heard Bill Belichick last night talking about the Patriots, and he said, you know, this was before the game, before they had their great game, but, you know, their defense was last in the league going into last night. And he said to just expect that we're going to get the same level of execution now that we had 5 months ago just doesn't work that way. And that triggered a thought. It's true, especially when you're doing it year after year, you know, like the Patriots, like the Spurs, and, you know, hopefully like we can do for a long time, but we have been doing it for 3 years. You don't just flip a switch. It requires a mentality of toughness and discipline, effort that's not easy to get to, especially early in the season when you've been at it for several years. So I know we'll get there. I'm not in any rush, but we're going to continue to urge our guys to get a little bit better each day, and we'll be in good shape.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
I wonder about maybe the conditioning of these guys because of, like we said, you said, it's not an excuse. It's that they're past the China trip, but, you know, they did have the back-to-backs on the road, back-to-back on the road, and that's something that you're not going to see as much of with the new NBA schedule. But
right.
You do see that Steve Kerr is kind of planning around that, where he's playing a lot of players. As Jim Barnett pointed out, he had 11 players in the game in the first quarter in New Orleans, 9 in Memphis. That's pretty unusual in a first quarter. I mean, your starters are going to be in there usually most of the way, but he's playing a lot of different guys. I mean, he realizes that, you know, these guys are, you know, kind of getting their legs under them at the beginning of the season and playing the back-to-back on the road and that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, and I think two things are going on there, because he did this with the rotations early in the game in the opener, remember?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, he's going to rotate Festus in here pretty soon. Festus Ezeli, who was there representing the 15 championship squad. Yeah, I thought, wow, he's getting everybody worked in. And I think two things going on there. I think he recognizes that they haven't gotten up to full game shape yet, and it's hard for him to give them full complement, especially the starters and the regular rotation players, a full complement of minutes. And it's early in the year, and he wants to get some of the younger players and the new players get their feet wet. And so you're seeing a lot of Jordan Bell, for example, who they really like. Yeah, Nick Young got 23 in the opener. And we talked about that last week. I mean, Nick Young can catch fire, or he can shoot you out of a game. It's not usually a good thing if he's leading you in scoring, which he did in the opener. But
right.
They're still trying to figure out his role. And Kerr said it also that nobody has stepped up yet and claimed the backup point guard spot. So he's trying to figure that out, too, and figure out what the right rotations are. So it's like, you know, you're doing stir fry and you're figuring out the right ingredients that work together. And so they're at that point in the feeling out process, too. And I would imagine that as we get a few more games in, they'll get a little bit more set on that.
One thing I did notice about McCaw is that he's a pretty good passer. I don't know that I noticed it as much last year. I mean, I noticed that he has athleticism, he can shoot, but he made a few good passes, a really nice pass to Livingston for a layup in this game in Memphis. It was one of the you know, positive points of the game, I thought.
You know, this is a guy that in his second year was going to be able to develop quite a bit more, and we'll see a few more aspects of his game. Well, then they bring back Iguodala, and so that would naturally limit his minutes. But Iguodala comes into the season with a little back issue, and I think also as he's getting up into his mid-30s that Steve Kerr is going to gradually dial down his minutes anyway. So the opportunity will be there for McCaw. And yeah, I've seen a couple of things early on that he's done pretty impressively. At the same time, you still see the rookie McCaw, the tentativeness from time to time as well. And I think, you know, again, he's just starting his second season. But remember, he played significant minutes in Game 5 in the one that won the title for them. And actually got a couple of big buckets. That kind of stuff, you know, as far as the well of confidence, that fills it up. And I think that's something he can bank on as he goes into the second year. But, yeah, I think you're right. The passing is coming along. And we are going to see a little bit more of his game in his second year.
Speaking of confidence from a young player, I mean, I really liked watching Dylan Brooks for the Grizzlies, you know, for the Oregon rookie. He looks like he's got a lot of confidence. I mean, he didn't look like a rookie. You know, he wasn't afraid to just take some big shots, drive to the basket hard, sort of, you know, just like he did for the Ducks. But sometimes a guy gets to the NBA and it's just not the same for him.
No, and sometimes the NBA game is better suited for a player like that. You saw a lot of Pac-12 games like I did. I'm like, man, how do teams pass on this guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got loads of confidence. He's fearless out there. And so a team that's maybe not at the top, you take a chance on somebody like that. And I'll give you another one who's undrafted, who the Warriors signed from Oregon as well, Chris Boucher.
Yeah.
He, of course, had the knee injury, and he was out for the run to the Final Four. And I talked to Jordan Bell about him, and he said, yeah, this guy, you know, if you didn't see him play in the Pac-12, this is, I think, a really good get for the Warriors as a long-term project. And so, you know, there's a bunch of Pac-12 players that the rest of the country don't see out here, guys like Brooks. And think of all the big shots he made when he was at Oregon.
Yeah. And you think about how much better a player gets, another guy who was a Pac-12 guy, Klay Thompson, you think about how much better he's gotten. I was, you know, and I know he didn't have a great game against Memphis. He was 5-for-16. But one of the things that I noticed about him, even this year, just his improvement, is that he's not forcing threes, you know, especially when he has his dribble. I've seen a few times already where it looks like, you know, he could take a three. He doesn't force it. He realizes that he can get into the lane. He can make a pass. And, I mean, just the unselfishness that's there and the way he's learned, it's just really impressive for me to watch him.
Well, the one thing that I like about his game that he has realized is, you know, they're good two-pointers. You know,
yeah.
Two-pointer inside the three-point stripe is not a good one. But for him to shoot at the elbow, that's money, right?
Exactly.
And he can get that shot. He's got, you know, with his size, he's a mismatch for a lot of opposing guards. So he can get to that spot and rise up and make that jumper. Yeah, you know, he missed some on Saturday. It's going to happen as the season goes on. But what I saw in the past with Klay, you get into those slumps and you get Gumby shoulders, right? And he would really beat himself up. I mean, he does care. It may not look like it, but he does care. You know, I've seen him post-game. Yeah, in the midst of a shooting slump a couple of years ago, go out and take 45 minutes of shooting practice after a game. So you don't get to the point where he is and the conditioning that he has if you're not really dedicated, his demeanor notwithstanding. I'll tell you something else, Joe, that he's improved at is passing. He's a pretty good playmaker. He doesn't need to be all the time, but he can put the ball down and dish as well. So that little aspect of his game, I think, is turned up a notch. This guy, I mean, wow, what a tremendous all-around player, and that's why the Warriors have the best. It's not just the MVP, it's this guy, too, with his that was the whole deal why they dealt Monte. They couldn't have two little guards in the backcourt. It was a defensive liability. And Klay has helped Curry, and Curry has become a better help defender on top of everything else. He's just got to get rid of the reaching in fouls.
Good thing they didn't trade Klay Thompson. That's one thing. And also, think about what he's doing. You know, you mentioned that he cares. He cares about people. And you could say that, you know, NBA players make a lot of money. They can afford to do this. But not everybody comes up with a plan. And, you know, he's going to donate $1,000 per point that he scores to the North Bay Fire Wildlife Relief efforts. I think that's outstanding. I mean, I know players should be doing something, but he's stepping up. I think it's cool. It's a creative way to do it as well.
Well, yeah, it gets fans interested, it gets him interested, and then, you know, hopefully he gets into a streak where he's making a lot of buckets, and it's not a 5-for-16, right?
Right.
But, you know, and it's, you know, there's cynical fans out there. It's like, well, why don't you just donate money, period? Well, I'm sure he's going to do that as well.
Right.
And as time goes on. But this is just another way to focus attention on it and to use that platform. And it is creative, and it's a fun way to get people involved, and I got no problem with it. And, you know, I hope he goes off for 35 each night.
Yeah, and he's doing it starting with the home game on Wednesday against Toronto. So you got the game against Dallas as we do this podcast here on Monday. That's tonight. And then Toronto and Washington at home, Detroit and L.A. Clippers then on the road after the Detroit game. And those are back-to-back games. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Jim Barnett, the analyst on NBC Sports Bay Area, saying that it's not bad for the Warriors to have some adversity. And I thought about that a lot, you know, to have that early in the season. And I kind of agree with him, you know, that they maybe need that because they can have sort of this wake-up call. Otherwise, they could have just been sleepwalking through the season. Yeah, we're great. We're going to beat everybody. And now they realize it's not going to be that easy.
Well, yeah, in a perfect world, there's no adversity, right? So, I mean, really, who needs it?
Right.
But that's not real life, even with the Warriors. And again, they've come off another great championship run. They brought the band back together. They've had the championship celebration. People are throwing rose petals all around. And, whoa, wait, they lost a couple. Okay, they're human after all, even as great as they are. And they're prone to some of the same problems other teams are, too. From time to time in the course of a long season, you're going to have a lull. And it's probably better it happens earlier in the year. So you have time to recover from this. You're not going to dig yourself a hole. And it's just to remind you, hey, you know, you're great, and it's good to have that confidence, but you're not all that, okay? You're still playing against other NBA players. You're getting paid a lot of money, too. And they're going to be about reminding of you of that every single night. Every team you're talking about, they're better than, but on a given night, if the Warriors don't bring the effort, they will lose to these teams. They could lose to Toronto, right? They could lose to Detroit. They're better than them. We know that. The Clippers are remade. They're kind of an interesting squad, and you know, I'm sure they like to restoke the rivalry that hasn't been there for a couple of years. But you know, on a given night, if they play like they did over the weekend, they're going to lose. So
yeah.
I think it's a good little reminder to them. Hey, you've got to have your antenna up now. Messing around time is over. Like I said, preseason is done.
Absolutely. All right, well, Ray, we'll talk again next week. Looking forward to it, and we'll see if the Warriors can get over 500.
Yeah.
I think they can.
I like their chances, Joe. I would say probably by game 30 they're over 500. That's my over-under. I like the under.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Ray Woodson and me, Joe Castellano, again next week on thesportsvirus.com.